1 Peter 3:7, hear the word of the Lord. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Living God, help us to hear your holy word, that we may truly understand, that understanding we may believe, and believing we may follow it in all faithfulness and obedience, seeking your honor, seeking your glory, in all that we do. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. Well, since marriage is God's idea, marriage is instituted by God, it makes sense that we would consult him for directions on how to make it successful. And that's what we've been doing. This is our second week now, looking at Peter's instructions to wives and husbands. Last week we saw his advice to women, and primarily to focus more on inner beauty than outer beauty. This morning, our text spells out Peter's advice for Christian husbands in verse 7. And I want to outline this, even though it's a brief verse, there's a lot here. Two commands, two reasons, and a warning. Two commands, two reasons, and a warning. Let's look at the first command. Husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. Now, when we use this term understanding, typically, I think we use it synonymously with patience. That's not exactly what Peter is doing here. Literally in the Greek, it is live with your wives according to knowledge. That's a good way to put it, according to knowledge. That is, the idea is to know your wife. Study her. Learn her. Learn what makes her tick. Figure out how her mind works. Learn what her gifts are. Learn and study what her likes and dislikes are, her desires, her talents, her hopes, her dreams for the future. A Christian husband who really knows his wife and sees her gifts and sees her talents will open the door and say, "Honey, go for it. How can I help you? How can I encourage you? How can I nourish you to develop this?" If she can sing, if she can teach, if she can write, if she can buy and sell, if she can organize, if she can teach, if she can do accounting, if she's good at law or computers or encouraging or counseling, honey, go for it. I want to encourage you in that direction. And if you don't believe me, husbands, go back and revisit Proverbs 31, where we are given the picture of the virtuous woman. Yes, she's a homemaker. Yes, she's a wife. Yes, she's a mother, but she also considers a field and buys it. And from her earnings, she plants a vineyard. And she's savvy, and she's business savvy. There's no contradiction here. I love, the writer of Proverbs says, 31:11, the heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. You get that? The biblical husband who studies his wife, gets to know her according to knowledge, nourishes her, helps her to flourish in whatever direction, will have no lack of gain. I'm afraid sometimes husbands seem to be afraid of their wives' success. It's almost as if they're afraid they're going to lose her. If she gets too good, if she develops her God-given gifts, the exact opposite is true. Friends, Peter says it's your job to study your wife, get to know her intimately, discover her talents, discover her abilities, and on the basis of that knowledge, according to that knowledge, nurture her and encourage her to develop. And you, husband, will have no lack of gain. Get to know your wife. And it's fascinating to think about getting to know your wife, especially in light of research by neuroscientists, just even in recent years. You know, we all have two brain hemispheres. The left handles the logical thinking. The right is associated with intuition. And even just in recent years, when neuroscientists have mapped the neural connections, that is the wiring diagram between the two hemispheres in the human brain, that's called the connectome, by the way, that's a scientific term for that. When they map that wiring diagram, they tell us that women have far more connections between the two hemispheres of the brain. And what that means is it allows information to flow much more quickly, much more freely between intuition and logic. It explains why they are generally more verbal. They are generally more in touch with their emotions. They are generally able to connect at a deeper emotional level with others. Women are amazing just in the way their brains are wired differently from men. That's why, one reason of many. Why a man can be married to a woman for 20, 30, 40, 50 years and still be absolutely fascinated and captivated by her and getting to know her all the more and still not know everything about her. Men can be figured out a lot more quickly. Get to know your wife. That's what Peter is saying here. Live with her with knowledge. Second command, two commands. Second command, showing honor to the woman. Honor her. How do you honor somebody? To honor someone is to assign value to them. Every day, if you make the conscious decision to show value to your wife, you honor her. Maybe some of you have run across the fictional short story by Patricia McGurr called Johnny Lingo and the Eight Cow Wife. Johnny Lingo lived on a primitive Pacific island called Kiniwata. And as politically incorrect as it is, the tradition on Kiniwata was for men to purchase their wives with a dowry. So, for two or three cows, you could get a fairly decent wife. For four or five cows, you could get a Cadillac. But Johnny Lingo made history on the island of Kiniwata the day he offered the unheard-of purchase price of 8 cows for Sarita, a girl from a little village, and everybody in that village at best said she was plain. 8 cows. Everybody thought he was a fool. Why in the world would you pay so much for a wife? But then the teller of the story seeks out Sarita, and when she finally meets Johnny Lingo's wife, she is just stunned. She's a knockout. She's full of confidence, full of poise, beautiful. How could this be the same woman the villagers talked about? How did she become so confident and beautiful? And here's where Johnny Lingo showed he was no dummy after all. This is how he responded, and I quote, "Do you ever think what it must mean to a woman to know that her husband settled on the lowest price for which she could be bought? And then later, when the women talk, they boast of what their husbands paid for them. One says 4 cows, another maybe 6. How does she feel? The woman who was sold for 1 or 2. This could not happen to my Sarita. I wanted Sarita to be happy, yes. But I wanted more than that. You say she's different. This is true. Many things can change a woman. Things that happen on the inside, things that happen outside. But the thing that matters most is that what she thinks about herself. In Kiniwata, Sarita believed she was worth nothing. Now she knows she's worth more than any other woman in the islands." Husbands, you have the power to destroy your wife's beauty and confidence and self-esteem. And husbands, you also have the power to elevate your wife's beauty and confidence and self-esteem. Peter's saying never miss an opportunity to honor your wife, to value your wife. You know what I mean now when I say treat her like an 8-cow wife. That's what Peter is saying here. Know your wife. Honor your wife. Now let's look at two reasons for this. First, know her and honor her for what she is. Honor to the woman as the weaker vessel. Now that's not a derogatory phrase. The word here, vessel, similar to our word for vase, that is a particular word used for priceless, fragile china. It's also the same word that's used for the sacred vessels used in the worship of God in the temple. That's an honor. When Peter calls a wife a weaker vessel, he's not referring to her moral character. He's not referring to her intellectual ability. He's not referring to her spiritual maturity. Certainly not referring to her outward beauty. What Peter is doing here is recognizing the general difference in men and women when it comes to physical strength. It is a fact. Biological fact. In general, are there exceptions? Yes, but in general, men tend to be stronger than women. Now, it's interesting that he ties that to honoring women. Let me make a broader application of this logic. If men are generally stronger than women, it does not honor women to allow transgender men to compete in female athletics. That is a huge dishonor to women. Because biologically, if men have an advantage, you eviscerate women's sports when you do that. That is the exact opposite of the logic that Peter is applying here. Now, how do you bring that home into the marriage? Men, if you're stronger than your wife, you honor her by picking up more of the slack, physically speaking. A man that really believes this is going to find himself doing strange things, like mowing the lawn and painting the house and getting the kids up and helping get them ready for school and taking care of the dogs and fixing things and working hard and bringing home the bacon. There's a direct correlation there. If the woman is physically weaker and the man is physically stronger, which is normally going to be the case, the man needs to bear his load and then some. But there's a second reason that Peter gives for why we ought to know and honor our wives. It's not only because of what she is, it's also because of who she is. Since they are heirs with you of the grace of life. I love that phrase, the grace of life. Peter is saying life is an undeserved gift from God. That's what grace is. And he says life itself is a gift, undeserved, to be received and to be enjoyed. And if you are so blessed to have a godly wife, enjoy it as equal partners. She is a co-heir with you in the grace of life. Neither is more important. Both are fully engaged. Both are all in the challenge and enjoyment of life, enjoying that grace. Marriage ought to be fun. Marriage ought to be enjoyed. Marriage ought to be joyful. Husbands, your wife should be your very best friend in life as you go out together and enjoy the grace of life as co-heirs. And as Paul points out in Ephesians 5, that type of marriage offers one of the very best human illustrations that there possibly be for the gospel. A man and woman joined together in one flesh a living, breathing, walking testimony to the gospel of Jesus Christ and the marriage of Christ the husband to his bride, the church. What a wonderful and glorious mystery that is. I have been blessed to thoroughly enjoy the grace of life for going on 24 years with my wife. And it just gets better and better. What a grace. What a blessing. Know your wife. Honor your wife. And Peter closes with a warning to take these words with the utmost seriousness, so that your prayers may not be hindered. The word hindered here is a military term for an army digging a ditch across the road to block an enemy's advance. It describes what Satan will do to your spiritual life. Husbands, if you don't take this seriously, Satan will dig a ditch and your prayers won't get through to God. That's pretty straightforward, right? Woven into the fabric of creation is this delicate balance between the physical and the spiritual. And it's true of a marriage too. If you look at a marriage and if it is physically out of whack, if it is emotionally out of whack, it's soon going to be spiritually out of whack. That's a pretty straightforward principle. To put it bluntly, you can't neglect your wife and get through to God. God is going to side with the weaker vessel every time. That's his character. That's his nature. And it's interesting, in the English, you don't catch this, because in formal English, the second person pronoun is the same, whether it's singular or plural. So in the Greek, you or your is plural. We have a fix for that. I don't know why they don't use it. What it should say is, so that y'all's prayers may not be hindered. It's both. It affects the family. If the family unit, the husband and wife, are in disarray physically and emotionally, the spiritual life will be as well. Well, let me just point out in closing this same phrase that begins the verse, likewise. You remember in verse 1 when he addressed wives, he used the same word, likewise. Likewise is pointing us back to that gravitational center, which is the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the center of all relationships. Look back at verse 21 in chapter 2. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example. That's what the likewise refers back to, the example of Christ, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. The cross of Jesus. That's the pattern for marriage. And it's not just the pattern for marriage. What God is saying here is it's the pattern for every human relationship. Whether you're a citizen, whether you're an employee, whether you're a wife, whether you're a husband. It is the cross of Jesus. It is the example of Jesus. It is the sacrificial, loving example of Jesus. The message is, if you're a citizen, be like Jesus. If you're an employee, be like Jesus. If you're a wife, be like Jesus. If you're a husband, be like Jesus. And yes, it will cost you everything. It will cost everything this world has to offer. If you follow Jesus, you will have a cross to bear. You will have a cross that you cannot skip. But when you follow Jesus, your life will be filled with an inner beauty. Your life will be filled with an inner purpose. Your prayers will go forth unhindered. God will be glorified, and when you follow Jesus, the world will look, they will see Jesus at work in you, and many of them will give God the glory on that final day of visitation by his grace. Amen. Father, we come to you this morning asking for the grace of your Holy Spirit to enable us in whatever relationships we find ourselves in today and this week, to be like Jesus, our sacrificial and loving example. We pray in His holy name. Amen.